Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome back to another episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your host, and today our guest is none other than the Irish indie darlings, New Dad. The Galway-based alternative rock band have a sound that echoes the existential vibes of The Cure or New Order, and they're fresh out of the studio and dropping their debut record, Madra, later this week. Now, trust me, you're in for an absolute treat with this. This record is brilliant. It combines alt-rock, shoegaze, indie, everything all together. It is a brilliant record. Now, in today's episode, we're sitting down with frontwoman Julie Dawson to unravel the stories behind this fantastic record. From the highs of its creation to the band's humble beginnings back in high school, we kind of explore it all. Have you ever wondered what it's like working with legendary producer and mixer Alan Moulder? Well, you need wonder no more. Julie spills the beans on that collaborative magic behind the scenes. And for our friends down under in Australia, we're going to sneak in the burning question. Will we be graced with a New Dad tour in Australia later this year? Julie has the answers. You won't hear any spoilers from me. Now, we want to give a big shout out to Christina from Atlantic Records for making today's episode possible. Before we dive into our conversation with New Dad, please make sure you subscribe to This Song Is Yours on your go-to podcast platform. Stay tuned for more fantastic episodes throughout the year by following us across all of our social media channels. Details are waiting for you in today's show notes. So let's get into it. Please enjoy our conversation with Julie Dawson from New Dad. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Julie Dawson from New Dad. Julie, hello, how's it going?
Hello, it's going good. Yeah, excited for the album release.
I can only imagine that you are. It is it's release week for yourself and for New Dad. There's a brand new record coming out. It is called Madra. It is out later this week. And firstly, I have to say, not just to suck up to you because you're here with us, it is a stunning piece of work. Congratulations on this record.
Thank you. I do appreciate every time anyone says that because we've kind of talked it up so much. We did have a moment there where we were like, are we actually really delusional and it's not that good? But you know, it feels good to know that other people like it as well as us.
Of course. I can only imagine there's such a mixed bag of emotions and energy when it does come to releasing something like this. How are yourself and the band kind of feeling about these songs finally coming out?
Yeah, mostly excited, but definitely there are a bit of nerves. Just, I guess you kind of build up a debut album release in your head as well. But no, I mostly excited for sure. I'm just excited for it to be out in the world because we've sat with it by ourselves for so long. So yeah, it'll be nice for it to belong to other people, I guess.
100%. I can only imagine the kind of stresses that must be relieved once it is out released and people can kind of enjoy it on their own terms, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I know, as you mentioned, it's the debut record. I think there was an EP in both 2021 and one in 22. Was there an approach that kind of differed when it came time for the debut record? Was the songwriting approach in a different way, or was it just kind of that you found yourself with enough songs for a full length?
I guess it definitely was a bit different because with the EPs and stuff, I guess, because it was only like five tracks, it was kind of easier to wrap our head around what it was. But I guess with the album, we wanted to have variation and all that stuff. So it did take us quite a bit of time really to feel like we had the songs that made a great record. Cause I mean, maybe a year ago or maybe even 2 years ago, we thought maybe we did have an album, but in reality, it wasn't, you know, it was too samey, and I feel like we hadn't learnt enough, I don't know, as songwriters in a way. And then we moved to London, and like about half of the album was written in Galway and the other half was written in London. So I think we needed that kind of move and change of scenery to finish the album. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that. And I'm fascinated by, we've spoken to a number of songwriters on this podcast where it does appear that location, although sometimes you would think maybe doesn't necessarily inspire a change in their work, that it kind of does. It has an impact on how things can be created and I guess molded in the minds of yourself, like the artist.
Yeah, definitely. I guess we hadn't imagined that, but that would be the case. But once we moved, I think there was a definite like change to what we were doing. And yeah, I guess it's almost like that discomfort or something, because, you know, we left our homes. So it was kind of like, yeah, I guess it's that, maybe that sense of unease or something that kind of drips its way into the music.
Well, whatever it was, it has worked brilliantly. Madra is such a stunning record. I know that there's been a lot of excitement from publications and media as well in relation to the record coming out. For some, and I'm trying to like boil it down to a few points for people who are listening who might not have listened to the band. I know that some publications are, I think I saw one saying the saviours of alt rock. We've got Gen Z shoegaze.
That's so nice.
And look, I don't think that they're far off. I'm curious for yourself, how do you categorise the band's sound when you are speaking to someone who kind of hasn't heard their music?
I guess I would call it, like I would say, it's alt-rock, but I guess we're trying to have a sort of like cleanness to it as well. Like we love like thrashy guitars, but we want it to sound like new and, you know, like we want it to stand the test of time and stuff. So yeah, I guess it's just like maybe slightly cleaner in some ways, but I don't know. I guess I would say alt-rock. Definitely a lot of like shoegaze and grunge inspiration as well.
Which I kind of find fascinating. Obviously, the power of music has like, there knows no boundaries in terms of music from decades past finding its way to new and younger musicians now. Are you able to talk us through, I guess, in terms of the band sound, how you guys came together? Because from my understanding, it had something to do with an end of year school practical.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I think we were about 16 when we formed the band, and it was for one of our year end project things, and none of us really wanted to play by ourselves, and we were like, oh, we should give it a go together, probably practice once, and obviously didn't do very well in the practical, but that was how it started. And then I guess we kind of like, we'd play one gig every 4 months and practice the day of for a little while. So we didn't take it seriously until we kind of understood our sound and what we wanted to make, and then we released How, and yeah, kind of just kept going from there, because I guess we never expected a response. We were kind of just putting it out in the world, so it was out there, but once people started saying they liked it, we were like, okay, let's keep going, see what we can do.
I do love that though. Do you remember that moment of kind of clarity of realizing that this is something that could be done long term?
Yeah, I think there wasn't even really a moment like with other people or anything. It was kind of just within ourselves. It was like, I've mentioned this before, but like one of our big kind of eureka moments, I guess, is we saw Just Mustard open for The Cure. In Malahide Castle, and like they're a band from Dundalk, and like, you know, they were new and young and from Ireland, like, and it was kind of like, oh, if they're up there doing that with literally the greatest band of all time, we were like, you know, maybe we should give it a go as well. I guess we've seen a lot of like amazing artists come out of Ireland and do really well across like all over the world, and it definitely is very inspiring to younger artists and stuff.
I do love that. I was curious whether you'd, I guess, share then your interaction with music, how you kind of came to songwriting and music yourself.
Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was about maybe 8, and I kind of started off playing a lot of like classical music. My favorite like artist at the time was Rodrigo y Gabriela, and I wanted to be able to play like them. Never quite got close. I don't think I ever will. But yeah, they were what got me into guitar, and I just loved that kind of music. And it wasn't until I was probably 16 that I kind of started singing and stuff. It was never really something I thought I'd do. I never imagined myself writing songs. But yeah, I guess it just kind of happened then.
I love that. I would not have guessed the, I guess, the starting point, but I think it kind of adds to the mystery of New Dad and to your songwriting as well. It shows different elements to it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a new one.
With this record, I think...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Did you also have a hand in the mixing of the record? Am I right in saying that? I think that the band did certain parts of the sonics and mixing.
Well, like, there was a lot of, like, we would make really polished demos and stuff, and Sean in the band, he did, like, music tech course, so he's very, like, he's kind of got the know-how for all of that stuff. But I guess, like, when, because it was Alan who mixed the record, it was kind of like, we didn't really have to tell him anything, because he's like, this guy has mixed, like, all, like, some of everyone's favourite record. Alan Mulder has probably mixed it. So it was kind of like, to be honest, I think we were getting, most of them was only about two or three mixes. And then there were a few that dragged on a bit, but not because we were unhappy or anything. It was like, just differences in singles or whatever. But, no, he nailed it. Like, he brought the album up an extra, like, 30%, I would say. Like, he really pushed it over the edge. And yeah, when we got those mixes back, we were literally like, we couldn't believe that it was us.
Is there an element of, because I can appreciate, as you said, the band started when you were in your teenage years. Like, is there an element of still, I don't want to say pinch me moments, because I think that's almost a little bit not naff, but I think it is. There are moments that I imagine that you're still going through where it's almost hard to believe that you're finding these, having these incredible moments in time. As you said, like Mulder kind of mixing, who's mixed some of the greats in shoegaze. Was that like a pinch me moment as well?
Definitely. I think it was kind of like, we had it in our head. We were like, oh, we'd love for Alan Mulder to do this, but we never thought that it would happen. And then, you know, when he got back and said like he would do it, and it was just like a stamp of approval that we never imagined. Like, it was, yeah, that was definitely a pinch me moment for sure.
The record is gorgeous. I know I keep saying that, and we're going to make sure that anyone who's listening to this podcast episode is able to pre-order the record and then also purchase it when it does come out later this week. I was wondering if I might be a little bit selfish. I wanted to ask about one of my favourite tracks on the record, again, that people will be able to hear on Friday. It is called Nosebleed. It's about halfway through the track listing, and I just found myself kind of coming back to this song time and time again. Are you able to talk us through the creation and inspiration for this song?
Yeah. So Nosebleed was kind of a funny one. It was one that I wrote with Justin Parker, who I did Nightmares with. it was the first session that we did together. And the song was initially like way higher, way faster. It was like a pop, like the way you make that. Like, it was like literally the poppiest song ever. And yeah, I kind of came out of it and I was like, oh, you know, this is cool, but I don't know, will it fit on the record or anything like that? Like, but then we went into pre-production for Rock Before Rockfield, and Chris Ryan, who did the album, he was like, guys, I love this song. We are doing this song in Rockfield. And we were like, well, we don't have it rehearsed. We thought it would be an album two thing. And he was like, oh, no, please, can we give it a go? And he was like, what if we, you know, made it lower, slowed it down a lot. And like the minute we did that, it just completely changed. It became this like, just like Honey, like just really smooth. I don't know. It's literally, I love it now. And it was definitely a really good shout for Chris to kind of pick it out. And yeah, because I think it's a great song. And then when we kind of nailed that, just that spot for it, I think it is really a really nice moment on the album, you know?
100% agreed. It is it's a stunning track. It's funny, the Just Like Honey reference, because I feel like there are little sounds or little parts of the record that have touches of some of those shoegaze bands of the past. And I know that with like a new band like yourself, I'm curious whether you're finding the, I guess like the fan demographics, what that's kind of like for you. Because I imagine that you've got like a lot of young people coming to the band who really love the music. I'm curious, are you finding a lot of the old hipster men with the Jesus Mary Chain t-shirts as well?
Yeah, it is mostly that. It is mostly like, it's mostly really? Dads that are, it always has been, like, you know, our first tour we ever did, it was a bunch of dads and we were like, who are these guys? they've been really good to us, I guess, because of Six Music and stuff. That was kind of where we got our start. And we have, like, there's loads of loads more young people coming to our shows now, but so often they come up and they're like, oh, my dad showed me you guys. And we're like, oh, no shit. it's definitely, it's mostly dads, which is, it's a nice stamp of approval again, because, like, they would have loved the bands that we love, and the fact that they see any, like, you know, anything kind of resembling that in our music is really cool, because that's definitely what we were trying to do.
That's honestly so cool. I kind of love that. The almost like the flip of the standard, maybe dad taking their child to a show, the other way around, dad bringing in the good recommendations.
Yeah, it's actually so cool. Like, a few times now we have, like, if we're chatting to people after shows, it'll be like a dad and his daughter, and we're like, it's just, yeah, it's really sweet. It's really sweet.
That is awesome. With the album coming out, I do believe that there's some shows around the UK and in Ireland, I think this month and next month. How you feel about being able to play some of these songs that maybe haven't been debuted live before?
Yeah, we debuted I think, like, the whole record when we played Galway on the 1st of December, and that was, like, very nerve-wracking, but, you know, it was the best place to do it, at home with, like, our friends there, and the Galway crowd are obviously just unmatched because it's a homecoming, you know? But, I hope people like them. I guess you can never, like, anticipate what ones people are going to, like when it comes to live and stuff, but we're just excited to be playing them and to be back on the road again, because we didn't do a whole lot of touring last year, really. We only had a few gigs because it was mostly album mode. But it's gonna feel really good doing it, like, all live. And it's definitely a different, like, there's a different thing to the live now. Like, we've got an SPD and, like, synth bass and all this stuff, and it's definitely become more of a, I guess, yeah. It's just evolved a bit. So I'm excited for people who've maybe seen us before to come back and see how it's changed.
Of course. I imagine it's a bit more of a production almost, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. With, cause for some, I feel like for some album rollouts, bands might change the arrangements for songs, or that they'll kind of obviously, and sometimes certain songs you'll need to fit to a live setting when you maybe don't have a wall of guitars or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Is there a particular song off the record that you're looking forward to being able to play on this tour that you think is going to be a standout?
I'm hoping Madra mm-hmm. will I guess, translate well. Like, it definitely, it feels good when we're playing it, but it'll be nice to see, like, actual people reacting to it. But yeah, I guess it's that end kind of moment is so big. And yeah, I just hope people love it.
I have a feeling, again, in doing preparation for today's interview, seeing like a number of the fans just very excited about the record, I'm sure that that's not going to be an issue at all in terms of people being excited for these shows. I do have to ask, with that in mind, can we see the band expanding that touring schedule, maybe to the US and maybe to us here down in Australia?
That would be great. We want to go everywhere and play as many shows as possible. So I guess it's just once we can kind of, sell the tickets to pay for our flights and stuff.
Very fair.
Hopefully as soon as possible, even to like do a festival somewhere. Yeah, that'd be very great.
Again, I'm sure that it is just a matter of time. It's not a, what's the expression? It's not an, if it's a win, I'm sure that we're going to see, new dad on many festival lineups this year. Julie, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's kind of taken your fancy or is on high rotation?
I've kind of been trying to relax, I guess, because it's just been kind of chaotic. So when I'm listening to music now, I'm listening to a lot of Mary Lattimore. She's a harpist, and her music is just amazing. But what I'm trying to think, there's definitely some bands that I've been listening to. Oh, the new Sprints record. They're a band from Dublin and good friends of ours, and they just released their debut this month as well, and it is unbelievable. It's amazing. Would highly recommend.
Incredible pick. How do you usually, I guess, find new music? Obviously, I imagine being in the scene, you get quite a bit of word of mouth, but is there, are you someone who, not adheres, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess, trusts in the power of the algorithm or?
I do, for sure. I think definitely word of mouth would be a big one for me, or even like the radio and stuff like, I guess, I like all the mixes and stuff that you get on Spotify. I usually would stick them on. It's nice to have ones that, you know, you can put on no matter what mood you're in. I tend to gravitate towards that.
Look, that is very fair. I think that's, again, in this day and age, it's nice to sometimes find stuff that you might not have picked yourself. And if it lands, it lands. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Julie, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I do appreciate it.
Of course. Congratulations.
Of course. Congratulations on Madra. It's out later this week, as I mentioned. We'll put links in the show notes where people can hopefully buy tickets if they are in Europe and the UK and pre-order and buy the album. But thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.